This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Let's go! Let's go! Yeah!
You're listening to the best of the Patriots. A weekly mix of WEEI's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Patrick Mahomes, and he does not make NFL history. Mm-mm. And so we'll see what happens. He's got to win a few more to be in that conversation with Tom Brady.
Yeah, he's got to at least get to six. So what is he at, three now?
Three and two.
Yeah, so he's got to get the three more to have the conversation. Because I don't know if five does it, you know. Six, you might be able to get in the conversation even if Brady has seven. So can he get to? And I think the biggest question is, how long is he going to play for? Is he going to play another 15 years?
I would be shocked if he plays another 15 years. The question for me when it comes to the AFC is, how long does Josh Allen play for? You know, that team was right there, and
right.
They should be right there going forward. And same with Lamar Jackson. Like,
right.
It's not easy
right.
for Kansas City. They're not just anointed as being the AFC champion
right.
every season going forward. So
I guess that you'd have to say, like, because we had this conversation.
He's also not going to play for another 15 years. Like, he's 29 years old.
Right.
And I at this point in his career, I don't think we're looking at a guy who's going to be a Tom Brady.
I don't know. That's why I asked the question.
I would say over under is 8.5, and I take the under.
Yeah, I would say 10 years.
I
would say 39 is probably the range that you're looking at, and that's when he'll think about retirement.
All right,
is my guess.
So he plays 39-40 like most quarterbacks, it seems like they do nowadays. So all right, in the next 10 years, and you brought up a great conversation, is just the road that Brady had to go through of quarterbacks. So is the road of quarterbacks more difficult for Patrick Mahomes because it's Lamar, Josh Allen?
Just in the conference. You've got two guys who are going to be really good for the next 5 years.
You got three guys.
Least.
You throw Joe Burrow into that.
Yes, you got Joe Burrow. Yes, if they can keep those guys around him.
Drake May.
let's hope, right?
Mm-hmm. We can pray.
But the guys you know, right? So you can look and you can go, all right, just in the league, and we did it with Brady, right? So Brady had to get through Roethlisberger, Peyton Manning, and then
what about the year he went Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes for a Super Bowl?
Right. So
not bad.
So you
I think you picked against him in every one of those.
So you start to look and you go, Mahomes, can he get through the juggernaut of just in his conference, Lamar, Josh, Joe, and then who's he got to deal with in the NFC if he gets there? Jalen Hurts. I know Shine loves him. What does Jaden Daniels look like? And who else is in NFC quarterbacks that could be around for the next, you know, 5 to 10 years?
I don't know, but has Patrick Mahomes beaten a Super Bowl winning quarterback in a Super Bowl?
Technically, he beat Jalen Hurts, but he hadn't won yet.
Right, you have to have won.
Yeah. Okay, then no.
Because you look at Brady, it was Kurt Warner.
Yep.
Won a Super Bowl. You look at Russell Wilson, won a Super Bowl. Right. I mean, those are two. I don't know if
those are the only two he beat.
Right. So that's still better than zero. And I think the best game that we don't talk about because it has nothing to do with the opposing quarterback, the greatest show on the Legion of Boom, the defense of the Seahawks, that held Peyton Manning at the peak of his powers to like 9 points in the Super Bowl the year before, has a 10-point lead on Brady in the fourth quarter, and you come back and win that game. I mean,
Brady also beat Mahomes, who had won a Super Bowl the year prior.
Bang. Three.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, Mahomes just, the way he looked, especially in that second half, it's like he looks like he's shocked that it's not just happening, like that the league is not just making it happen for them. Yeah. You know what I mean? Unlike Tom Brady, who you believe, you give him the football and that they're down, you believe he's going to go and win the football game for you, because he always did, almost always did. I just...
24-0 though at halftime. Ugh, you're like, if you're anybody, even like Brady 28-3, like the look at you're just disgusted, and you need something to spark it. And then you get the ball coming out at halftime. So you're saying, all right, we gotta put a drive together. And you come out 3-and-out. And then
that's how you knew it was over.
Yeah.
Right. And then you stop Philadelphia. And what? That's when you get the interception, and then they go up. They go up. At that point, they went up 31-0. Am I right?
After halftime, no. After halftime, Chiefs come out. They immediately punt after 5 plays. Philly gets the ball, goes down 69 yards, kicks a field goal.
Okay, the field.
And then Kansas City comes out again, turnover on downs. Philly comes out, scores a touchdown. They're up 34-0.
Yeah. So that was it. Like once I knew they did nothing with their first drive coming out of halftime, KC, I was like, it's a wrap.
This is Walter from Boston. Hey, Walter.
Hey guys, the problem I have with the comparison of them two is it's like Brady won to land a Super Bowl without Gronk. Brady's won other Super Bowls when Edelman was his best guy. I've never seen Patrick Mahomes do things like that. He might be more, you know, scramble more, but as far Brady wins guys with number threes and Gronk. Like, Worthy's better talented than any receiver Brady's ever had except Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
Except
Randy Moss.
Great
point.
That's the comparison. Nobody ever brings that up. It's like, even like last night when they took Kelsey didn't have this spectacular game. Look what their offense looked like.
Right.
Brady, man, you kid. Some of the guys that Brady won Super Bowls with, if you went to football fans, they'd be like, oh?
Yeah. This is such a great call, Watchwood, because you think back last night, the Chiefs were down 24-0. Brady was down 25 with 2.5 minutes left in the third quarter. And he came back without Gronk. We don't talk about that enough. Gronk was out of Super Bowl 51, injured, didn't play. He came back with Chris Hogan, Malcolm Mitchell, Julian Edelman, and James White.
And Danny Amendola.
How many of those guys start for the Chiefs last night?
Edelman.
Edelman.
One.
Yeah.
I mean,
and Edelman, by the way, never made a Pro Bowl in his entire career. So,
and that's a Chiefs team we say is not talented. When of the Patriots in the greatest comeback in the history of the sport on the biggest stage, the guys Brady were throwing to, only one would actually make the roster.
See, that was the difference. Like Mahomes wasn't able to elevate those guys around him last night. He wasn't able to do it. He wasn't able to be able to elevate, whether it was Juju.
Well, Andy Reid, he whiffed. Halftime, like what? No adjustment whatsoever.
No, you tried to come out.
Maybe they were trying to run the ball a little bit more, but no answer for that front four.
Right.
Like,
well, you came out at halftime and you ran, and then now you're third. It was like third and long, and then you try to throw it on third and long, but there was just. It was just the play calling early in the game, because they, Philadelphia, when Jalen Hurts throws his first interception, you're like, oh, okay, rather than being down potentially 14-0 or 10-0, yeah, it's only 7-0, and now you're not able to do anything. It was disgusting. Like, that was a horrible, horrible game by Mahomes in that offense, but it was a horrible play calling event by Andy Reid.
Yeah, awful.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That was a burgeoning broadcaster, Rob Gronkowski on Fox, who had an expanded role, I thought, in yesterday's Super Bowl coverage, and I thought did a really nice job. Also, has an expanding empire of commercials that I also think he does a really nice. Sneaky? I thought the USAA kind of sucked in the past. Yeah. Now they're not bad.
Well, no. And the, well, the,
with what's his name?
I'm
sure you know his name.
The yes, guy with Sam.
Mustache.
Not Sam Watterson. Anyway, I love those commercials.
That's your area of expertise.
I
You're
know.
A film
I
and
forgot.
TV guy.
I'm sorry.
He's
I didn't
very
sleep
famous.
Very much. I know.
Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott. Thank you, God.
What are you doing?
What am I doing?
T.S. Elliott.
I'm actually I'm doing a lot of things. I got a lot of things going on. Why don't you people understand what I do around here? I'm a people person. My favorite part about the USAA commercials is the commitment to doing spots that have no punchlines. They just like, they're almost, I laugh out loud because they're like purposely unfunny in a lot of ways. Gronk playing a commercial director with Sam Elliott, and he's just like, that was great.
It's all right, I can already get my own insurance.
USAA.
And I would argue that in terms of improvement right now, maybe Gronk is outpacing Brady because I think he's learned to skate his lane.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's learned to just kind of stick to what he knows. Don't get too far out in front of your skis. And
but his
they did a live interview yesterday for the Super Bowl with Dallas Goedert, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, they have the faith to put Gronk on live TV, do an interview,
yep,
like
speaking
at the
English.
Super Bowl, English.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else to save him. When he's on the desk, somebody can butt in if he starts to freak out. They can throw to commercial.
Well, he's
going to
call someone the wrong name every other break at the desk. But we love when he calls somebody like
Brady
Spike
did
Man.
It six times, according to the listener.
I also actually enjoyed the Gronk piece with Kelsey.
Oh, like I did
they
too.
Were that was a well-produced little piece. Gronk dapped him up, gave him his love, and
you know what part I enjoyed best about that?
What's that?
Gronk throwing to it when he said, I consider myself the greatest tight end of all time, but I'm more open to the discussion after sitting down with Kelsey or
something.
Now
here's
like
that. Me talking to someone else.
Well, you should say that.
I think
you're the greatest of all time. You should tell me that guy's kind of a pansy and doesn't block.
My two favorite guys thus far, Alex Smith does a sneaky great job for ESPN these days, but my two favorites, I think Matt Ryan quickly grew on me on the NFL on
He's
CBS.
Good.
He's really good.
He is.
Super good. And a like a well-dressed man, too. Very handsome.
Put a pin on a couple of these things. We got to get to some other broadcast issues. Sure. I want to get back to the phone calls, especially one that's Gronk-related. But put a pin in the broadcast issues because we need to talk about Dan Orlovsky. We need to talk about Jimmy Johnson. There was a very awkward Jimmy Johnson AI career retrospective. Is he retiring? Is he dying? Or
have we already lost him? And that was
right.
AI Jimmy Johnson.
AI, like very weird.
Like I heard him. I was literally in the kitchen chopping onions, and then all of a sudden they cut to Jimmy Johnson. He's like, I just want to tell y'all how much.
It was nuts.
What is going
on? So we need to get to a couple of those broadcast related issues. But speaking of broadcasters, Gronk, you had the sit down. He had the sit down with Kelsey, as you mentioned. Dave in Springfield wants to bring up the Gronk Kelsey comparison, which I am happy to talk about at any time, Dave.
So is Gronk better than Kelsey?
Gronk is the greatest tight end that ever walked the planet, my friend.
Better than Mike Ditka.
See, that's where I don't know for sure. I think Ditka's in the conversation. I don't think Kelsey's in the conversation. I don't think he's the best tight end in Chiefs history.
Kelsey's a big Edelman.
There's some truth
to
that.
What if Kelsey won?
Wouldn't have changed anything for me. Wouldn't have changed anything. Thanks for the call, Dave. It would have, buffed up his resume. He continues to put up Edelman-like and Jerry Rice-like numbers in the postseason, and that's cool.
He's a big receiver. He is not the same kind of tight end.
A big receiver who also likes to beat zone coverage, not even man. A lot of his best work comes against zone coverages because he's smart and he can just, and I have a connection and we see each other, Mahomes and I. Gronk used to just beat man coverage. Remember when he laughed at the guy from the Steelers? He laughed in his face. He laughed in another professional's face.
How about when he smoked KJ Wright down the sidelines in Super Bowl 49 on little 35-yard wheel?
One of my great predictions ever. Sitting right up there with Paul Pearl, I go, this is a touchdown. It was like,
why aren't you richer?
You guys doing that?
I mean,
that is a great question.
See, I ask very good questions.
I see greatness.
You sure?
I'm just not greatness. I just see greatness.
Well, you got to act. When you see the greatness, then you need to act on the greatness. But yes, Gronk could beat. I guarantee.
Did you get tone from that call that he was trying to trend in the direction of Kelsey's better?
I would have gotten. I would have gotten better tone if he didn't call on speakerphone from his bathroom
and took the marbles out of his mouth as well. There were a lot of layers to the inability. That's why I moved on.
We're not making friends today.
It wasn't. We're talking. We're talking sports.
Right.
And
engaging
Kelsey,
sports.
Kelsey has great numbers. Mm-hmm. Kelsey can't hold Gronk's jock, and I do believe if you want to start going down the road, Mike Ditka is probably the greatest tight end of all time, but he's a long time ago, and we kind of...
Well, there are those who will say the award is named after the great John Mackey, R.I.P.
Yeah.
He also...
I'd take Ditka. If you're going to make me take an aged guy, but that's like saying...
How about Christian Gonzalez? Tony Gonzalez. Excuse me.
Well, that's why I said Kelsey's not even the best Chiefs tight end.
That's my favorite
clapback to that. Tony Gonzalez is. That's like what I usually do also with you people in Edelman. He's not even the Patriots' best slot receiver. That would be Welker.
Better overall football player, Edelman. Better slot receiver, Welker. Yes, we've had that discussion before.
And I love putting that back in people's faces. But, I don't know enough about Ditka. The numbers are ridiculous, especially when you consider the time frame.
Mike Ditka's?
Oh, yeah. Brock Bowers broke Mike Ditka's records this year. Mike Ditka played 700 years ago when they didn't throw the football.
They didn't even have leather helmets.
Right, it was a soccer ball. It was that weird round thing that Mahomes kicks in the
commercial. I wasn't ready for this. Okay, I wasn't ready for this. But here we are. This is part of the fun of one of these sort of free-form post-Super Bowl Mondays.
Football Monday.
Holy smokes, look at that.
What year?
In 12 seasons.
Yeah, but give me the first year, I believe the rookie record, whatever.
In 1961, he played 14 games, had 56 receptions for 1,076. So it's not receptions, it was yards.
Yards, okay.
Damn, that was actually his career peak, too.
And it was
12 touchdowns.
JFK was alive. Like, that's how long ago it was.
He was.
JFK is like a figment of my imagination.
Didn't get to see Ditka finish the 1963 season.
Oh, what
well,
are
you had to
doing? Mine was appropriate. Yours was
we didn't need it.
Inappropriate. But, yeah, so Mike that's Ditka true. In the conversation. You know who I think is better than Travis Kelsey? It's a hot take coming here. Hot take, Stiz. If we have a hot take alarm, you should probably play it. We don't. He's just shaking his head.
No. Can we get one of those?
Ben Coates is better than Travis Kelsey.
That's not a hot take at all.
Oh. I thought it was.
Look
but you're the
talking
audience.
To.
If I say it to Chiefs fans, I bet you it's a hot take.
Oh, they would.
Hey,
actually,
Kingdom.
You know what?
Hey, Kingdom. Ben Coates is better. In fact, Russ Francis is better. Ooh. Patriots have three tight ends that are better than anything you've ever had.
That is not
how
a
you
good
like
hot
dem
take
apples.
Alarm.
Don't make me go Marv Cook. Just kidding. I've gone too far.
We've gone way too far. Russ Francis was good. Ben Coates. The original 80, like 87 has been a thing in
burned hot
in Pats Nation for a long
time. That's the one thing is he didn't really have
like 7 years, but he was unstoppable for like those six.
Yeah,
7 years.
Got that crap kicked out of him because Bledsoe was like, "Oh, there's three guys on you. Ah, ball's coming, catch
it." Yeah, I'm sorry, sir. Did you order another hospital ball? Yeah, it's like guys like Austin Colley used to be the recipient of the most Peyton Manning hospital balls. He would go over the middle for those 18-yard cover two beaters, catch it, and then just get lit up like the Griswold family Christmas tree.
Peyton's like, "There's a hole in the coverage, I promise," and he's like. But, it's a small hole, and it's going to close
and
fast.
And Dallas Clark would be like, I'm not going down there. Like Austin Colley was like, I'll do it, sir.
Well, he is named after a dog, so whatever.
He waves only being loyal and just retrieving the football.
617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone lines. Braden and Hadley, what are your thoughts on Super Bowl 59 and the big Eagles win?
All right, I got three big winners for you guys, not related to the Eagles.
Okay.
Number one, it's gonna be Brady / Portnoy. I mean, we all saw. Mm-hmm. Patriots dynasty survive. Number two, I'll give you Kirby Smart. Because everywhere you look, it's just Georgia Bulldogs going all over the place.
Okay.
Cannot stop them on the defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, not a football one. How about that Jeep commercial? Come on, with Harrison Ford. Was that not a good one?
Was that not?
Yep.
Thanks for the call, Braden. That was a great commercial.
I think it was also 2 minutes.
I was going to say
it was
a short
film.
It was definitely longer. It was very expensive.
Listening to Harrison Ford talk about cars is probably as cool as it gets.
And there were a lot of not-so-subtle jabs at Ford throughout there, not just his name, but there were a lot of Bronco references in there, sort of the Bronco being a knockoff of the Jeep and everything. And he even kind of answered, you don't have to be friends to wave or whatever, the whole Jeep thing where everybody in a Jeep drives down the street. With their ducks on their dashboard and then waving to each other with the ducks on the dashboard. No, that was a good ad. Very, I would say...
Americana.
And it definitely was playing on some of that. And maybe the shift in culture that's going on in different aspects of whatever. We don't need to get too deep into that. But it was definitely playing on some themes of
made me want to just take the top off and just get out there on the open road.
Would you buy an electric Jeep?
I most certainly would.
This seemed weird.
I have my cousin.
Would that be like an electric muscle car?
My cousin John loved it. Well, that's like an electric Ferrari or an electric Maserati. They exist.
Yeah, I know. Don't they have electric Hummers now?
Oh, and those are sick. Sick. Expensive. I looked it up.
I don't want one. Do you really want one of those, though?
It crab walks.
No, I like the Broncos,
too.
I don't know why I'd need to crab walk, but it crab walks.
I'll tell you what else. Like, I drove a Cybertruck last summer. That thing goes 0-60 in... maybe 3 seconds?
Oh, yeah. All the electric cars are
jarring.
Electric. It's ridiculous.
And it's the ugliest thing known to man.
Okay.
Well, I mean...
The Cybertrucks? No.
Two each. I don't like them, but I'm sure somebody likes
them. It looks like something drove off the set of Demolition Man. Yeah.
It looks like your kid drew up a picture of, like, the coolest car ever.
Okay.
My kids love them. Jeez. Are you happy now?
He's very judgmental back there.
Wow.
Who knew Stiz was so judgy?
No idea.
Get off your high horse back there. We're just talking radio here, talking cars. A couple guys hanging out talking cars. 617-779-7937. We're talking Super Bowl. We're talking Jalen Hurts. Is he now the fifth best quarterback in football, or should he be higher than that? What's your respect level for Jalen Hurts? Can Drake May be better than Jalen Hurts? Does he need to be better than Jalen Hurts? Because we're going to be comparing the Patriots to these teams that played yesterday. And which team... is there a path towards New England approaching their success level, reaching that level? And I think the answer may surprise you, actually, here in New England and as we compare dynasties. So that's up next. Drake May and the Patriots' path to being a Super Bowl contender, as well as more look back at Super Bowl 59, the big game that has big changes for Jalen Hurts. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Now. WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
617-779-7937. I filled the air with the phone number because what was that long pause in this rejoiner?
Letting the beat breathe.
You're supposed to either A, turn the beat around, or B, let the beat breathe.
I thought you let it drop.
Or you could let it drop.
Yeah, I did that a little bit.
I don't do any of these things.
Gotta turn and let the beat drop.
Yeah, I don't do any of these things. This is WEEI Afternoons. I apologize for that unprofessional return just because Stiz shocked me with that weird rejoiner.
I hope you can clean your clothes after the show, today. Considering that someone just threw you under the bus. That's going to leave marks.
It happens.
Gosh.
That is Nick Fitzy Stevens. Dan Ball out sick today, if you may have noticed. So Dan Ball filled in for Fitzy on Friday.
Super Bowl fever.
And then got sick of working or something and is not in on a Monday. Or it may have been that he spent a day in a room with me when everybody knows on Friday I didn't sound great. I'm a little bit better today. I don't think I'm
contagious. Am I going to get this? Because I just got over something else.
I went to the doctor this morning for my annual physical, and I told her I've been sick. And she's like, listen to my lungs. And she's like, nah, just keep taking over-the-counter stuff. You're out the other side of it, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. She didn't seem worried about it, so you shouldn't.
Anything up or down at the old phys?
Excuse me?
I said, anything up or down, like levels.
Sounds like a personal question.
Oh, my God, please.
The old Rich Keefe, 6 to midnight.
Moon River. Old phys
no. Okay, this is a quick aside.
Well, we are humans. It's okay. We're allowed.
Do you have a good primary care person?
He's fine. I had a great one up in Massachusetts.
My woman is terrible. She has, she's like the Belichick of, what are you looking for, Andy? It's your physical. Your weight's fine. Your shirt with all the faces, that's her. Like, there's nothing.
But a lot of times, people are just like, get them in, get them out. Turnover.
Yes,
That's what I feel like.
That's
my primary care physician is the same way, too. I used to have the best one in the world. Guess what happened?
Died.
No. That got morbid quick. No, hopefully he's doing wonderfully. You know what happened? Was doing so well. He's like, I know what I'm going to do. Go into concierge health where I'll make twice as much money and not have to work as many hours.
Yeah. So my annual physical.
He cared.
Almost only go to the doctor for my annual physical, and it's just like.
But you need someone.
No bedside manner. No anything.
Well, what do you want? Nothing. Tea and feelings talk?
They're probably seeing dozens of patients a day.
Yeah, but isn't that...
Can they get you a prescription? Did she schedule your colonoscopy? Do you have high blood pressure?
I
get them in, get
don't
them
need a colonoscopy because I did the
we all know
poop you in went a box with, last year.
You could have just said the other thing.
And I gave my blood for I fasted so that when I left the appointment, get my blood. She's like, do you have the new online portal thing? We'll put the results in there. Otherwise, I'll mail it, blah, blah, blah. Plus, we are no...
Mail it?
Yeah.
What is it, the 70s?
It was a terrible... And I wanted to get out of there because everyone there is sick. There was a line at the secretary. Had to have been 25 people long. People
be administrative assistant.
Okay, administrative assistant. Anyway.
Receptionist.
The big issue for you is she didn't seem worried about whatever I got going on. So
there we go.
We're moving forward. You're fine. 617-779-7937. Back to the phone lines. Jim in Weymouth. What are your thoughts on Super Bowl 59 and maybe how it relates to the Patriots?
Well, first of all, that is the first time I've ever rooted for Philly in any sport, and thoroughly enjoyed that beatdown. But, Andy, I'm 100% with you on Gronk being the greatest tight end of all time. But I believe the Patriots have three GOATs, Brady being the other, and John Hanna.
All right, thanks for the call, Jim.
Would John Hanna, if ever pressed, what if Steve Grogan and John Hanna did the tush-push before it was cool?
They could have.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah, they could have. Because you also had Leon Gray and somebody else on that. They had a good offensive line.
Did John
Wasn't
Hanna... Pete Brock?
Pete Brock, the center?
Yes.
Wasn't it Leon Gray, John Hanna, Pete Brock? You could have done a tush push.
That's
why they rushed for like 3,000 yards in one of those seasons in the late 1970s.
When did Bruce Armstrong get drafted? 87?
Late 80s. Yeah.
So he never crossed paths.
No, I don't believe he crossed paths with Hanna. Nope.
Damn.
Another badass mofo at left tackle there.
Most certainly.
617-779-7937. Let's go back to Kevin in Quincy. What are your thoughts on the Chiefs' embarrassing loss in Super Bowl 59?
Embarrassing, good term. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I called Saturday Ken and Curtis to let them know that it wasn't a guarantee that Mahomes was going to win this game. I mean, I think the point spread at one point was like, won, or it was real close, and I suggested, what if he never gets back to a Super Bowl? And remember, it can happen. I'll just say this, that there's a lot of good quarterbacks in the AFC. There's a lot of good teams in the AFC, and don't just take it for granted that he's going to be there year after year like Brady was. So, I think the comparison is null and void after last night. What do you guys think?
All right, thanks for the call, Kevin. I do not think it's null and void. I think they took a massive step backwards.
Yeah, it's a hit to the legacy of the chefs, for sure.
They're a Super Bowl contender right now. Why? Best coach, best quarterback,
yep.
And you could argue one of the best coordinators in terms of Spags not leaving. They benefit from his track record. And whether Kelce retires, I don't know. They've always attempted to address their roster issues, right? Oh, we need an offensive lineman. They give Joe Tooney $80 million. They went Juwan Taylor a couple years ago. They gave a boatload, probably too much money, to Juwan Taylor. Tyreek Hill, they weren't afraid to move on.
That one backfired on
absolutely.
Never should have let Orlando Brown go.
But they've been very willing to address needs, be aggressive, do different things. And I also left out Chris Jones is one of the best defensive players in football, still in the prime of his career. And with McDuffie in the back end, you have makings for a decent defense with the coordinator. So, no, I am not willing to close any door. I think it's a lock that the Colts make the playoffs.
You mean the Chiefs?
I mean, the Chiefs make the playoffs. I don't know if it's a lock that they get to the AFC title game, but they'll be on the divisional round. Absolutely lock.
I've changed my mind on Cooper Kupp. I heard Andrew Whitworth talked about Cooper Kupp, about how smart he is, about how he's going to be a coach. He thinks of the game in a different way and would, you know, basically like suggest things in terms of like, you know, how to change blocking assignments and, you know, certainly routes, and how he basically, you know, he runs the receivers room. He's the one that, you know, taught Puka Nacua like everything that he knows about that offense and how he's become so good so quickly. Like, when I heard all that stuff, I was like, how do the Patriots not bring in a guy like that?
Greg Bedard on Cooper Kupp. I don't know if that's the right reason to sign Cooper Kupp.
Like a coach. He can call plays. Like, he's a mentor. I don't rule out the fact that he could be some sort of mentor and a real good influence.
But he's making that sound like it's like the number one reason to bring him in. I guess it would be somewhere on the list. That's bottom of the list.
Call me crazy. I think he still has some game.
Me too.
I don't know how many games he'll play. That's sort of unfortunately been a real problem for Cooper Kupp.
He's going to give you a solid 2 months.
But when he plays, that's good. Here's the issue, though. So he had the greatest receiver season of all time in 2021.
I've heard that.
You can't even debate it.
It's been brought up.
Catches, yards, touchdowns, Super Bowl MVP. So then, but they followed that up with 9 games, 12 games, 12 games.
Yeah, not great.
It's a 17-game season, Cooper. We're going to need a little bit more out of you.
So one of the things the Patriots, I think, have going for them is coaching experience. I don't think they need coaches on the field. Now, the receiver room was terrible last year.
Maybe the worst.
And it could have used an adult in the room.
Yeah.
So, again, that's somewhere on my list. But I'm not bringing in Cooper Kupp for that reason. And even you, Keith, and you're probably higher on the Cooper Kupp move
than anybody.
Honestly, than most. But even you're like, if they get Kupp, they need more in that room. Like, you don't just stop there.
Well, I don't think it's fair to any one receiver to bring them in and be like, it's fixed. Like, if that's how bad it is. Because if you brought in T. Higgins, I don't think it's fixed. You'd have to shoot even higher than that. And none of those guys,
right,
I don't think, are really available. A.J. Brown probably crossed off. I think Cincinnati's going to keep Jamar Chase. CeeDee Lamb staying. Justin Jefferson staying. Like, that very top end group, maybe.
Right.
Everybody else, give them a guy like Cooper Kupp. So if it was T. Higgins and Cooper Kupp, I'm like, we're cooking with gas.
That's
wishful thinking.
Not to call it Moss and Welker, but like,
no, it's not that, but like, I'd be pumped.
I would maybe react the same way
to
that offseason.
I'd have to dust off the puppet gif. I don't know if you've seen the puppet gif.
I've seen it.
Been a long time.
Yeah, well, what would
haven't
you,
anything to get that
what would you even
about?
Use it for?
Not much. Glitter guns. We can bring the glitter guns
bring
back.
Bring the glitter guns back, yeah.
But I think for any of those guys that we've even considered, you know, Deebo Samuel, DK Metcalf, even if, you know, DK Metcalf, a high-end receiver, but if it's like, all right, you're out there with Kayshon Booty and Jalen Polk, he's going to be like, all right, like, I'm used to playing with Tyler Lockett and Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Yeah. Like,
have fun with double coverage.
Yeah. Oh, triple coverage. Yeah. So I think two is the way to go, and that makes the job easier for everybody, you know, Drake May included. So hopefully that's what they're able to pull off.
So I asked you this earlier. You'd prefer Kupp over Deebo. I think in a vacuum, I would prefer Deebo. I'd agree with Tom Curran on this. Knowing that it's Josh McDaniels as a play caller, I feel like Cooper Kupp in the slot. That's the kind of thing you need to make the McDaniels offense go. Samuel's all over the formation. You got to be creative with him. I don't know if that's McDaniels' strong suit.
I think for Drake May, though, too, not just McDaniels, like, I want Drake May, give him, like, a real wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Debo's, like, a football player. He kind of does a little bit of everything.
Well, and if he's right, it's you line him up in the backfield. It's horizontal throws. He breaks one tackle, and then he's gone. That's if he's right. He might have lost a step, and he'll never get that back. But you're banking on Debo still having something left in the tank, just like you are with Kupp.
Right.
It's a pretty unique piece. It's not a more traditional receiver like Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, and I think that would be a little bit of an adjustment. Now, he's still a great player, so you say, all right, Josh McDaniels figured it out. Drake May figured it out. But just as far as like a wide receiver that he could throw the ball to pick up first downs and things like that, I think Cooper Kupp would be the better choice.
So with McDaniels now back in New England and talking about his offense, Chad Graff, over the weekend in New Orleans, he says he caught up with Robert Kraft in New Orleans.
Oh, what a coincidence.
Which, again, to me is very interesting. Chad Graff has had some good insight into ownership, and now all of a sudden he's just bumping into Robert Kraft on Bourbon Street. Did any other beat writers talk to Robert Kraft this
Not
week?
That I'm aware of.
If they did, no. I missed it. I might have missed it. But I didn't see it. He said, here's what he said on the Patriots hiring Josh McDaniels as offensive coordinator. Robert Kraft, quote, when we interviewed Mike and asked him who he might be interested in bringing on, without a pause, no pause, Keith, just right away.
No pause.
You couldn't even get the sentence out.
Yeah.
His first name that he brought up was Josh McDaniels because he thought it would be something very special for Drake. Their experience and chemistry together is very positive. Again, I don't think they have much chemistry and experience together, but Robert would know that better than I. I think that was a good development. From every way you look at it, I think it's a win-win. It was his decision. Josh was very excited. I hope we get the fruits of the potential positives out of that. He has a very good history of developing and dealing with good quarterbacks and developing an offense that can really produce. So I don't buy this.
I don't buy this either.
At all.
Well, no, this seems like damage control because more and more people have started to come out and say, hey, look at this entire new coaching staff. Which hire stands out? Which one doesn't have a direct link to Vrabel? And if you want to say, well, Vrabel was a player when McDaniels was a young coach, like, okay. But all these other guys coached with Vrabel in some degree, right? Or like one degree away, or like we're right there. This one seems much more like a Kraft hire than McDaniels. So then when you're going to have this story come out that it for sure was a Vrabel hire, I'm like, I don't know.
And before, Rob Gronkowski said your first call should be to Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to look at every possible candidate that I feel like can help us.
Without pause.
That was quite a bit of a pause there.
Without pause.
I read that as like he's on the list, I guess.
Well, so me too, but let's give Courtney some credit. Courtney said he was playing coy there because he knew it was a done deal and he didn't want to make it look like a foregone conclusion.
I just feel like he was going to consider a bunch of people. He probably didn't know exactly who it was going to be. You want to see how it was all going to play out, who was going to take what job, who might leave other jobs, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
he's worked with a bunch of different offensive coordinators and offensive coaches over his time.
Nick, keep that handy one more time.
McDaniel's not one of them.
Keep that handy.
Yeah.
I want to get the exact wording here from Kraft one more time. Let me pull the tweet back up.
Kraft or Graff?
Well, Graff had the Kraft tweet.
Got it. That's confusing.
Quote, when we interviewed Mike and asked him who he might be interested in bringing on, Without pause. He said Josh McDaniels?
Rob Gronkowski said your first call should be to Josh McDaniels.
It's a pause.
And an
Yeah.
Pause. Yeah.
No hesitation. No pause.
Sure.
I want Josh McDaniels. Josh is the guy. It didn't sound that way. Great pull by you and Nick there,
yeah.
Keith.
But,
I'd forgotten about that comment.
But I guess if you want to play the other side, devil's advocate,
sure.
As it were.
Yeah.
That feels like a ball.
Al Pacino, Keanu Reeves, devil's advocate. This hiring cycle had their issues with what were bag jobs versus what weren't.
Correct.
And interview process and Rooney Rule and everything else. So maybe it is possible that Josh McDaniels was already signed, but they're like, we haven't done fake interviews yet. We can't say anything.
Play dumb.
That's possible.
It is possible.
I just think Mike Vrabel had worked with a bunch of guys, and if you look at who his defensive coordinator is, if you look at some of the offensive position coaches that he hired, some of the defensive position coaches that he hired, the front office guy that he brought in, I don't know. Like, they all have much more direct connections to him when he was a coach than Josh McDaniels does.
Yeah, so I don't buy that. Perhaps you do, and maybe you want to go, as you said, full devil's advocate, full conspiracy theory that they just wanted to make it look like it wasn't a bad job. Perhaps, but that certainly was a pause.
Well, one thing we know for a fact is that Kraft loves McDaniels.
True.
He brought him back. He convinced him not to take the Colts job, that whole thing.
So this is why when we say, who's running the Patriots and do you trust them? My answer is, I'm still worried it's Kraft, and no, I don't. Because I just... If Vrabel's really running the Patriots, I don't think McDaniels is his guy. So, and I think he kind of had McDaniels maybe forced on him is too strong, but strongly pushed on him, and he said, I'm not going to fight this one.
They are open to trading the number one overall pick, which if that is true, they are going to get offers. It is a year where, first of all, it doesn't feel like there's right now or there's going to be a consensus on the quarterback. Some people really like him. Some people like him in a certain system. Some people not as much. Because it's all over the map, you're going to get teams who really, really want to trade up. And other teams are like, I hope everyone trades up so I can get a great pass rusher or a great corner slash receiver or whatever it ends up being. We also don't know the Tennessee Titans, who also do need a quarterback. What do they think of the top guys? Is Cam Ward or Shador Sanders someone they believe to be their franchise quarterback? If it is, then there's no point in having this conversation.
That was Ian Rappaport on NFL Network talking about the NFL draft, the 2.5 months we now have to build up to. Who will be the number one pick? Will the pick be traded? Who the Patriots going to take? It's mock draft season. It's prospect season. It's big board season. I see them starting to flow out there as well. So you can compare, Will Campbell, is he worth the 4th pick in the draft? He's the 8th best prospect. And what do the Patriots need? All of that. So we'll get a head start on that here. Field Yates, friend of WEEI's, Nantucket guy, Belichick guy, Patriots guy. Ted Johnson smirking. What would you like to say, Ted?
I'm good. Nothing. I'm good. Nothing to say there.
Okay, so Field Yates has his initial mock draft. He goes, no trade, Tennessee Titans pick number one overall, Travis Hunter. That could be good. Cleveland Browns take Abdul Carter. Oh, boo. Everybody wants Abdul Carter. New York Giants take Cam Ward. And your New England Patriots take LSU offensive tackle Will Campbell. You don't like that, Fitzy?
No, I don't.
What happened? Like, it wasn't that long ago. The dream scenario was Will Campbell is Drake May's left tackle. Mm-hmm. What happened?
That was in the Harderverse. It was never in the Fitzatorium.
Well, why? You know? Oh, I'm sorry. You don't want a franchise left tackle to marry up with your quarterback?
You got to posture it. No, guy.
You prefer he run for his life for the next 10 years?
Sure. It makes it more fun. No, I think... Yeah, you got to build both trenches. And to me, I feel like getting Mace, I go for the defensive guy. I want to pressure the quarterback. I want to push the pocket. I prefer Abdul Carter if he's not available, Mason Graham over Will Campbell or Kelvin Banks Jr.
So this is an interesting juxtaposition that Ted brought up earlier coming off of the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Because we saw a dominant defensive front, the Eagles, beat up on an offensive line that we knew wasn't great, but we didn't think was a weakness, and cost Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, the greatest coach QB combo right now going, the three-peat. So, you know, it's sort of a philosophical conversation. Do you want to have the great offensive line? Is that more important? Because Mason Graham goes in Fields' draft next. He goes 5th to the Jaguars. So it's basically the 4th pick is Will Campbell, the 5th pick Mason Graham. Could be either or, swap those out, whatever. I just find it interesting is forever it seemed like all Patriots fans were on board with you got to get a tackle. You got to get a left tackle. You got to get a left tackle. That's the most important. Actually, for a while it was left tackle or wide receiver. Number one wide receiver, left tackle, number one. And now people watched Abdul Carter dominate in the postseason. Remember that game against Notre Dame with the one arm and the whole thing?
Arm. Yeah. That was the thing. The tape he put out when it mattered most was spectacular.
And then they watched the Super Bowl. Where Jalen Carter and Sweat and those guys, Williams, like that front dominated. And it's like, I kind of want a pass rusher now. That seems like the way you can win in the postseason. I get it. If Abdul Carter was on the board, I'd take Abdul Carter. And no, I don't think he's Mike Mamula to answer the 781 texter. I think Abdul Carter has the potential to be an elite pass rusher in the NFL. I don't think any of these guys are can't miss blue chip generational talents. That's the other thing I would take away from all of this. Will Campbell is not Walter Pace or Orlando, I mean, Orlando Pace or Walter, the guy from Seattle, whatever the hell his name was. And Abdul Carter, I'm not sold as Lawrence Taylor or Miles Garrett or anybody like that. But I think I would go Will Campbell. I think I want to protect Drake May. I think I want to see what Drake May can develop into.
Are we overthinking the fact that Will Campbell, the latest left tackle, where it's like, but his arms could be too short?
Yeah, I know. But you know what I like about
is
things?
Is that the word on him?
Oh, yeah. He's got short arms. He could be a guard.
Okay.
But we already did that from the SEC 7 years ago, and that blew up.
Yeah, but now we're going to get it right. Have you seen the guy squat when he winks at the camera? He's got like 800 pounds on his shoulders, and he like winks at the camera and squats. He's a badass mofo.
That does concern me,
though.
Did
you see Mason Graham savage every offensive line that he basically went through all season in the Big Ten, where they don't exactly have wee fellers and little giants?
Also, my little bit of a problem with the Mason Graham idea, and I saw this alluded to on Twitter. I don't know if it's actually been written or said, so I'm probably being a bit irresponsible saying it on the air, but hell, Perfect. It's what we do.
Why let that stop you now?
Somebody told me that Mike Reese alluded to if he were the Patriots, he would be planning his roster without Christian Barmore. And if that's true, then Mason Graham is a more important pick. But if Christian Barmore is back and the blood clots are cleared up, and Christian Barmore, your $90 million defensive tackle is back, I'm taking Will Campbell. I already got a $90 million defensive tackle. Do I need another top four pick defensive tackle? Like, there feels like for a roster that is so holy, I need to fill some of the holes outside of, and I need to count on Christian Barmore to earn his damn paycheck.
I'm with you. If all things are equal, I would say give me the offensive lineman. But if the offensive lineman has, I don't know, short arms and you're not quite sure and you're just – then I would that would make me a little bit nervous. Then I do feel comfortable taking an elite pass.
Matt Light had short arms, you know.
Okay. Man, he was.
Did you beat him in pass rush drills?
Never, not once, because I never went up against.
No, you
him in pass
you
rush.
Took the easy way, the A gap.
Give me the
straight
those,
line.
I want those running backs stepping up in the A gap to block me. I just protect. Give me protection for Drake May. That's I mean, I look at that Kansas City offensive line. Patrick Mahomes from the very beginning was running around. Look, you know, discombobulated, like he just was scared to death because the offensive line was so leaky. Protect Drake May. If you don't protect your most invaluable asset, then it doesn't matter how good your defensive line is.
And Fitzy, a lot of people keep referencing a lot of Vrabel's early words, which were protect Drake May, but also were the defensive front and the pass rush. They were like protect the quarterback, make the other team's quarterback uncomfortable. Were kind of his two tenets that made their way into a few answers. And that's both of these guys. Like, you're basically fulfilling his criteria. But, Fitzy, do you think, I think a lot of people assume Mike Vrabel's a defensive coach. Mike Vrabel will draft a defensive player. Is that overly simplistic?
And they also think, hey, Mike Vrabel, you ran the ball a lot in Tennessee, so you're going to go to a power run game. It's like, well, as he told us, Derrick Henry was our best player. There's a reason why we featured the run game a lot. No, I don't necessarily think that he's going to go with a defensive guy just because he played defense or leaned that way, coached at Ohio State and down with the Texans when Teddy J was covering him down there on Houston Sports Radio. No, I think he's going to go best player available because of the dual nature of the intense needs on the roster.
But also I think you can add in there best player available and valuable at a position of immense value, and I would argue both of them can
They're
be.
They're both very
right, Jalen.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be a cornerback, Andy.
Yeah, I don't really think it'll be a cornerback either, but people have said that. Will Johnson, the kid out of Michigan, is also a top 10 type pick. The one thing I will say about Will Campbell is the ebb and flow of his value over the last year. For a while, he was the can't-miss top tackle. Then it was short arms, might be a guard. Oh, my God, he's not that good. The Banks kid from Texas is better. Then the Banks kid kind of fell off. There's some other tackles coming on. Now that we're getting down to big boards, on a lot of big boards or positional rankings, Will Campbell is like the sixth best player overall or the eighth best player overall. And if that's true, if he's really six or eight, five, seven, you can take him at four.
Absolutely.
He's not a super reach there if you take him three picks, quote unquote, too early off the big board.
I agree.
So, Abdul Carter, Will Campbell, Mason Graham, Travis Hunter. I guess those are some of the names. There'll probably be some late risers to the conversation. I know some people think the tackle from Ohio State could enter the conversation. There's a lot of different guys. And get used to the names because we're going to be talking about it a lot over the next 2.5 months.
It's also a Tom E. Tuesday. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joins us every Tuesday at noon. His latest is up now at NBC Sports Boston. Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, the GOAT debate. He says that Tom Brady proved, Super Bowl 59 proved, that the Tom Brady-Mahomes race just isn't that close. He wrote, nobody, perhaps in American pro sports history, could ever do the Lazarus Act like Tom Brady. Even when he didn't rise fully from the dead, you had to pry games from his cold, dead hands. He never got his face blown off like Peyton Manning did in Seattle or against Seattle in 2012, like Mahomes did on Sunday, like Montana in 86 when his Niners lost 49-3 to the Giants.
Oh,
that's a good one to file away.
It is.
Or when he got benched in 87 in the divisional round against Minnesota, like John Elway when he lost a combined by a combined 96 points in his first three trips to the Super Bowl. There's pretty much the top five quarterbacks in NFL history. Brady, Mahomes, Montana, Elway, Manning. Four of them got blown out. Brady, not so much. Tommy Curran, you don't think it's a real debate, Brady and Mahomes?
I think it's a good debate on the arc. But I think that had Mahomes won on Sunday, there would have been a contention that he had arrived, that he was there, that he was on the peak of Olympus, standing eye to eye, arm in arm with Tom Brady, and that is insane. And I know that it would have been easily assailed by people who would just say count the rings, but I think people would also then say, well, what Mahomes just did at the start of his career trumps Brady. And people don't understand that while the first three – I hate when people say people don't understand. Of course they do.
You're talking to us. I mean, you never know, Tom. Yeah, we really might not, yeah.
No, it's sometimes overlooked that Brady, for the first four seasons of his career – was dismissed and dismissed and dismissed and marginalized, even as he won 10 playoff games in a row and certainly was on the Montana arc, as I was alleging when he was 10-0 and had won three Super Bowls. And people were like, Brady didn't get equal to Montana until 2016, honestly. But I digress. When they finally gave him Moss, he threw for 50 friggin' touchdowns, and the team scored 75, both NFL records. So that, to me, was showing, okay, not only is he the most accomplished within a team, but all you have to give him is some toys and not, God bless them, Deion Branch and David Givens and Bethel Johnson and Antoine Smith and Troy, all wonderful players. But if you marry him with a Hall of Fame player like Moss, this shows he's the greatest player that has ever played. So anyway,
yeah,
it's kind of really a blowout.
You know, it is. And that's why I think the better debate, which nobody wants to have because it's, you know, I guess it's maybe boring to argue about who the second best is in anything, but Mahomes versus Montana, Mahomes versus Peyton Manning, Mahomes versus Elway, I think are pretty fascinating debates, and those are good ones. You can take your sides on it. It's like, but we already need to leap to the guy who's played for 23 years and won 7 Super Bowls. Like, well, that's not really fair to anybody.
I think the Chiefs are going to enter the wilderness now, too.
Do you really?
The Patriots never did. Yeah, I do. Kelsey's ancient.
Yep.
They have Juju. DeAndre Hopkins, who I still love, is just not somebody to build around. They have Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy. Kareem Hunt and, Rashee Rice will be back. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
whatever you have of an opinion on that. They're going to be in the wilderness. They got absolutely pantsed on the offensive line, and they're not getting any younger. And so I think that they are going to enter the wilderness a little bit.
Now, what does that mean in your mind? Is it, you lose in the divisional round, or it's like you miss the playoffs?
9-8.
Oh, wow.
9-8, 10-7, Patriots 2009 type business. I mean, what the Patriots did in 2010 is still remarkable, but to do that, they had to draft in 2008, Mayo, 2009, Edelman, Chung, 2010, McCourty, Gronk, more guys that I'm missing, Slater, but 2011, Solder, and then 2012, Hightower and Jones. You had to rebuild through the draft, and then boom, the bottom fell out in 2013 draft-wise. So they were able to live through the rest of the decade, or at least until 2018, and they were hanging by a thumbnail
through that Super Bowl, but after that, that's how it goes.
Well, and so I get it. Like, Kelce is aging out. Andy Reid, who knows how much longer he's going to coach for. Spagnuolo, same deal. But the Chiefs do draft pretty well. Like I probably Bill in that era doesn't get enough credit for how well he drafted. But the Chiefs have drafted well. They're still getting players. So you think it's about to drop out?
I do, because I do think it's offensive line and skill position based, and it is obviously quarterback based, but it's offensive line and skill position based. But if you cannot complement it and take advantage of your cheat code, which you have a quarterback, then you're just going to be another good team. And that's what the Patriots will run the risk of being. Will they top out with Drake May as an average to good team, or will they do a remarkable job like the Philadelphia Eagles did in surrounding your quarterback with trades, free agent pickups like Zach Bond, draft picks like they made all along the defensive front? So can you do that and then go to the Super Bowl with like the eighth or ninth best quarterback in the league?
So do you think the Philadelphia Eagles are set up for a long run? Like, if we just went from the Patriots dynasty to the Chiefs dynasty, you think that might take a little bit of a hit? Are the Eagles set up for it, or is it, is the league kind of getting what they want, which is, more parity?
I just don't think there's going to be any such thing as dynasties as we traditionally knew them. Hmm. They're just going to pass off being in Super Bowls, attending them, not even winning them necessarily. I think that it's too hard. It really is. And, Belichick had a good point talking to Jim Gray on his final Let's Go podcast this week. And it's one that, for all of us who spend a lot of time focusing on the downfall of the Patriots over the last, 5 years of Belichick's tenure, especially, it's just such a wear and tear on a good team. You work until friggin' Valentine's Day. You have 15 minutes to get ready for the combine. You're going to end up with the worst draft pick. All the players on your team just played in the Super Bowl, so you have to pay some of them. You're going to lose some of them. You're going to lose some of your coaches. It's such a barrier to excellence to be a good team that it equalizes things, and it wears your asses down. I mean, what is it? Brady played, three extra seasons of playoff football, I think? I'd have to check it.
No, I think you're right. I think it's something like that. Yeah, 48 games. Yeah, exactly.
It's insane. Yeah. So he played, 21 seasons plus three?
Yeah.
24 seasons in the NFL when you break it out and look at the number of games? So that's why I don't think you're going to see dynasties. And I think that inevitably you're going to see – no one's ever going to three-peat before I die.
All right.
We put that on the tombstone.
Some are trying to pretend that the Packers did.
He was right.
Even though the Packers didn't do it in the Super Bowl era. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. You can check out all his latest there. Check him out on Quick Slants. Tom, how much of a hit does Andy Reid take for the other night?
He's so cuddly. He doesn't get hit.
Oh, Travis Kelce tried to fight him last Super Bowl.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and how'd that go for him? He'll be out of the NFL. I mean, that was so outrageous, too, when you think about it. He's freaking bodying the head coach. What a fool.
It's nuts.
I mean, of all people, the body. I mean, I could see fighting Nick Sirianni. I mean, to get to that point with a guy with that face.
Mm-hmm.
But bodying him, Wilford Brimley.
Yeah.
So I don't think it hurts Andy Reid. Andy Reid is kind of more of a lifer, a marathoner, than Bill Belichick's two sprints that he showed. When you say, Andy Reid might break Belichick's record, you're like, he's still not a better coach. I mean, I really, truly believe that. And I look at, ironically, Don Shula and say, he's got more wins. He still wasn't a better coach. I mean, Belichick is just unparalleled. From as an assistant, as a defensive coordinator with the Giants, with all the game plans against unbelievable, unstoppable teams and offenses, and with what he wrought for a long period in New England before unrotting it.
Speaking of Belichick, what did you make of his weekend? He popped up in the Dunk Kings commercial with his girlfriend, who was also spotted earlier in the weekend wearing a Falcons Super Bowl champion T-shirt.
I don't know. I think I'm too jaded on Bill at this point. I might be too jaded. I just, it's just weird guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough.
That's all. No. That's all I can say. I mean, I honestly think I there's a point at which I start to think, I don't know, man. Have I gone on too long on Bill? Like, you don't want to be cartoonish. I mean, I thought it was goofy. I thought it was it was just straight weird. And I'm like, how did the conversation take place with the woman? Who initiated?
The girl?
Let's try and get you in the commercial.
My guess is she said, I want
Jordan
to do this.
Yeah, would be my guess as well, yeah.
And he's like, I'll do whatever you say.
I don't know. I mean, my guess. I don't know. I was talking about this with Phil Perry, and I said, there's got to be a point at which Bill says, hey, what can I do for you here? I mean, all she was doing was sitting in an airplane seat. I mean, it's not like she was trying to get into a commercial in 2 years, seemingly.
I don't know. I don't think she recognized her enough credit.
She didn't recognize Bill Belichick?
Yeah, I think she might have.
Well, she did. Did she go and say, I need a seat change? I'm going to sit next to Bill and try and get him to autograph my book?
Well,
I mean, I just...
I'm not ruling it out.
I mean, that's...
Again, I'm spending too much time on Bill Belichick and his girlfriend.
I would say maybe not enough, because it's not like we're like dragging these stories. I'd be like, hey, remember Bill? Like, no. He is at the NFL honors, which he never is, and he's got his girlfriend on the red carpet.
It's just weird and embarrassing. Oh, hey, gotcha. I got my 8 rings here. All right, great. Well, would you be doing that had you gotten the job with the Raiders? Would you be doing that if you got the job last year with the Falcons?
Right.
Or are you just trying to say, see?
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to end up being ridiculously negative about a 72-year-old guy who was the greatest coach in NFL history and who really did a great job of creating the team that I covered. So I don't want to become cartoonish in my nonstop ripping of Willie. But it's probably a 2-way.
Yeah,
ripping a Willie. Don't look that up on a work computer.
Part of the job.
So, Tom, let me ask you, now that we're basically to this point in the offseason, games are done. We've been talking a lot about the Patriots offseason and what they're going to do. We're here now. What do we expect the Patriots to get done in the offseason and specifically free agency, which is going to come up first? Where are we looking? What should we expect?
I'm going to work a little bit this week on a story that I was pursuing when I was at the Super Bowl to look at free agency, because as I've said to you guys, it's not free agency isn't what it's cracked up to be. You know, I'm watching yesterday and one of the radio shows in town was asked, well, what can the Patriots do to get better? Spend money! Okay, well, that was the answer last year. On who? Who's the dude again? Tyron Smith.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, Jonah Johnson. I mean, there just weren't great players out there. So the Patriots have to be innovative, in my estimation. You have to find the ability to look at your roster, look at the players who are out there and some who aren't out there, and figure out ways to get them. And getting back to free agency, when I talked to folks down at the Super Bowl, they said, watch teams like Cleveland, watch teams who are up against it, who are going to have to release good players, because as the cap is going up and you're having to cut ridiculous checks to middling players for good players who aren't incredible, like a Trevor Lawrence or a Tua or whoever else, you're going to have to see some 30 and 31 and 32-year-old guys released who signed those ridiculous contracts a few years ago themselves when they were 28. One example would be like a Jack Conklin from Cleveland. Really good offensive lineman. Vrabel was there. Would Jack Conklin come available? Can you find those opportunities? Can you find trade opportunities? Can you look at your offense and say, well, shoot. Mm-hmm. I don't want Tet McMillan in the draft. I don't want Travis Hunter. But I do look at the draft and see a crap ton of tight ends. And why not just build the whole plane out of tight ends? Honestly, think about it. You got Brock Bowers, you got Sam Laporta, you got TJ Hockenson, you have George Kittle, you have Kelsey, Gronk, you name it. The number of tight ends who become security blankets, and you go, oh, they already got Hunter Henry. He's 31. And sometimes, because of the nature of the routes, he gets hit a lot. So be innovative. Try and find other ways. Okay, well, there's no wideouts. Fine. We'll draft a tight end. Have fun with that.
All right, where do you stand on Cooper Kupp, who is obviously available? The Rams are looking to trade him. Would you like that addition?
I'd trade for him if he'd be over the moon about coming here. If he would reluctantly come here and not be into it, then I'd say, nah, okay. Mm.
How about,
we're all set with you.
How about same question, Deebo Samuel?
Yes.
Why such a quick yes there, but more hesitant on Kupp? Why Deebo over Kupp?
The versatility of Deebo. Now, obviously, I think you have to manage him in a different fashion because he does spend an awful lot of time injured. But I think that, you know, as a running back, as a slot, as a downfield receiver, he's a little bit different than Cooper Kupp. So I would look at him as an individual. But, again, is it an easy sell right now for the Patriots? Would they have to overpay not just with the trade, but they need willing participants? They can't have people coming here kicking rocks and not being that into it. And they've experienced that, I think, through free agency, even when Bill was here. I don't think Nelson Aguilar friggin' loved it here. Kendrick Bourne certainly is a happy guy, but I don't think he loved it in 2022 when he was constantly in the doghouse, some of it because of his own inability to pick things up and be in the right place at the right time. But I think that they need to value people who want to be there. And I think that Vrabel has kind of articulated that with his statements that, you know, we want people who are going to put the team very much first.
All right. He's Tommy Curran. Check out his work, NBC Sports Boston. I should know this. Is Quick Slants, is that done for football season? Does that continue? Well, can they check you out tonight?
We usually had a post conversation after the Super Bowl, but none this year. But I will tell you this.
Yes.
I'm going to have Mike Sando. He's going to be on the podcast, and he voted for Lamar Jackson All-Pro and Lamar Jackson MVP. And I love Mike Sando, and he says it just does not compute that someone would do otherwise. Well, I did otherwise.
You were one of those.
All right, good fight. Yeah. Let's go.
And I voted for Lamar Jackson for All-Pro. Because you know why?
Yeah, I'd love to know why,
actually. Valuable.
So yeah, the best quarterback MVP. Is not the most valuable?
Yeah.
I'm on Mike Sando's side.
I hate to say it, too.
We were kind of mocking Orlovsky for this. I'm also on Sando's side on this. Yeah.
Yeah, you goof. I voted for Chad Pennington in 2008.
I was going to say, this year seems like a throwaway.
For comeback player? What'd you vote him for?
No, in 2008, you dink.
Okay.
He was the MVP of the league?
Jesus, Tom. Holy you still smokes. Have a vote after yeah. that?
Do you understand what valuable means? Do you understand how bad the Dolphins were before Pennington joined them? The drastic improvement that the Dolphins saw? What's the word valuable mean to you?
He did lead the league
in completion
percentage.
A change maker. It doesn't mean who was the most outstanding, who compiled the most stats. It means if you took them away, how horrendous would they be?
Ronnie Brown was pretty good running the Wildcat that year.
Probably should have voted for Mahomes every year.
Did you know Chad Pennington finished second in the MVP vote that year?
Yeah, probably because of Tom's vote. Because of Tom's vote. Oh. Solely.
Yeah, it was 49-1. 49-1. No, I'm kidding. He got four.
Nice. All right. Well, make sure you check that out. Patriots Talk Podcast with Tommy Curran. All right. All over NBC Sports Boston and Thursday. So WEEI afternoons as well. Tom, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Wouldn't
Jane Daniels be very valuable? Isn't team proved by like 8 wins?
We'll talk about this next
week. All right, fair enough. All right, Put a pin in it.
See you, Tom.
Bye, Tom.
I thought I was going to give you a bye there.
Wouldn't you say Peyton Manning
that year? Well, this is fascinating. Peyton Manning won the MVP that year. Chad Pennington, Michael Turner also got MVP votes.
Oh, the burner Turner?
That guy could scoot. He could.
This is a good text. How fast would Keith's samurai sword get brought out if his daughter brought home a 72-year-old boyfriend when she was 24? Let's just say when my daughter's 24, how old will I be? I'll be old, but I can still wield the sword, though.
But you'd be younger than that, John.
I'd probably get put away.
Yeah.
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 But so would that guy.
Well, yeah, he'd be hacked
Let's
up.
Let's just
in,
say.
Hacked up in a little.
Yeah. He'd be much more worse for wear.
For your dog, yeah.
I mean, I'd be in prison for life, but... Yeah.
Valuable.
I don't think I'd think it all that charming. No, so valuable?
Valuable. Lamar Jackson, I would say, was valuable without looking up the Oxford Dictionary definition.
I would just say, I didn't realize, we actually brought up Curran's MVP vote. I must have missed this because we were mocking Orlovsky for this.
Same thing.
I feel like you have to be consistent on that one.
If you're the most
first
valuable
team all pro and MVP, I would think you'd have at the quarterback position. I would think you'd have to.
But if you're the best quarterback, but you're not the most valuable, you're not the most valuable quarterback.
No.
Well, not according to him. Valuable.
Yeah.
But like that argument.
It's valuable. It should be Burrow.
Valuable.
But don't you think the argument can be said for all those top quarterbacks? If you put in like a backup replacement level quarterback, wouldn't all those top teams be much worse?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not. Nick Foles won a Super Bowl, so maybe that's a strike against somebody like Carson Wentz. But I feel like if you took Mahomes, Lamar, Josh Allen, Jaden Daniels off their teams, wouldn't they be much worse?
Probably pretty poor.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay.
All right. That's fun, though. I'll check that podcast out.
Good stuff. He doesn't want to pile on Bill anymore.
Well, no.
I'm going to continue to do so, but he's a bigger man than me.
No, but I get his overall point. Be like, are we still talking about Bill? It's like, well, if he keeps popping up in these commercials that apparently were watched by more people than anybody in the history of television, we're going
to
talk about
it. The other reason that I think it's fair to pile on Bill, and Twitch chat is very pro-Bill, and that's fine.
Great.
And so maybe you like that Tom is not going to keep piling on. Bill used to mock this.
We have a couple leads that remain. Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So I heard Jones and Keith talking about this yesterday. I had mentioned this last week, and people kind of laughed me off and like, yeah, you're out of your mind. I would never do it. But after watching that Eagles game, isn't it safe to say that fourth overall pick that the Patriots have could be a very, very valuable trade asset, especially you brought up Micah Parsons yesterday.
Yeah.
I talked about Myles Garrett. I know Max Crosby is out there, which you probably don't have to give up the fourth overall pick to get him. Just some of the guys that potentially could be out there free agency-wise, but especially when it comes to those D linemen, because if you are going to face a guy like Patrick Mahomes in the AFC or a guy like Lamar Jackson or Joe Burrow or even Josh Allen, doesn't the biggest part of giving those guys problem is being able to put pressure on them with your defensive line?
Yeah.
So if you like Christian Barmore and you think he's a solid guy to build around, why wouldn't you be willing? If you could get Abdul Carter at number four, great, but there's a chance that he might not be there. So are you willing to move up in the draft from four to one to secure him? Or are you willing to say, you know what, Dallas? How interested are you in the fourth overall pick and maybe another first round for a guy like Micah Parsons?
I mean, when it comes to Micah Parsons and the fact that they appear to be willing to listen to trade offers for him, is it all about money down there?
They got a lot of money.
It has to be, though. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Jerry has a lot of money.
No, but they spent a lot of money already.
Right, because you paid
Dak,
Dez. Right?
CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb. So that's got to be what it is, right?
But I'm going to look at their cash spending. If you're going to get, who would you have if you could pick all those guys? I would take Micah over Dak, over CeeDee Lamb. One of the most influential, dominant figures in the NFL. If the Patriots could trade the fourth pick this year and a second round pick next year, I would do that for Micah Parsons. I wouldn't do it for Myles Garrett, but Wiggy, you make good points. Mm-hmm. I think there
Myles
is a connection
Garrett is
with
considerably
Vrabel.
Older. I mean,
Garrett is, I want to say, 30.
Micah Parsons is like 25 years
yes.
old. Like, I mean, it's
and Vrabel was at the ground floor with Wiggy at the foundational development of the organization's first dynastic run. And yes, they drafted Richard Seymour, great mm-hmm. draft pick at 6 overall because of Wiggy's advice to Bill.
It was.
But look, Vrabel himself was a free agent. They built it that way too. And if Vrabel thinks, I don't know how he would do this, but if he thinks that Myles Garrett is better than any player they could get with that pick and he can begin to rebuild the culture
mm-hmm.
with him, then maybe it makes sense.
I just love that Wiggy has come around on how important defense is. And we'll get Shime there sooner than later as well.
I would trade number four overall for Micah Parsons.
Yeah, I always love D-line. Edge rushes, guys that can get after the quarterback, because It is about your offense, but the only way you slow that down is you got to have guys that can get after the quarterback and get after the quarterback consistently. And that's, you know, when you have a guy like Micah Parsons or if you have a guy like Myles Garrett, and I brought up Max Crosby, you have those type of guys, you can build around them, and now you don't need to blitz and do all this other stuff.
I just have an issue, I think, with prioritizing that over the need, the massive need that you have when it comes to the O-line. Like,
I mean, why can't you do both?
Well,
like if there's not a tackle available.
You're talking about Elliot Wolf, so you answered your own question.
Okay, fair.
But I just, that would be, if I were Mike Vrabel and Elliot Wolf, that would be my whiteboard number one priority is we have got to get a solid, legit offensive line that is in front of Drake May.
Right, but it's easier to find those guys. It's easier to find those guys later in the draft. It's easy to find those.
It wasn't easy for the Chiefs to find them, apparently.
Oh, but no.
Yeah, they were playing like the son of Frank Caliendo. What are we doing?
But with the Chiefs, though, we're not going to stop because no one had any questions about the offensive line going into the game. Did they have Joe Tooney at left tackle, which was a little bit of an issue?
They moved him over there.
Right, but there was no issues. I think when you start to look and you say, okay, we can get good offensive linemen, whether it's
in the draft
or free agency, it is so much harder to find elite pass rushes or elite defensive linemen than it is to find offensive linemen. So I would start with elite wide receivers and elite edge rushes, and then I would build my offensive line through free agency. And we saw it with Dante Scarnecchia. If you can get a good offensive line coach, get a good group of five guys, you don't have to spend a ton of money in that position.
Yeah, and the Cowboys spent $4 million less than the Patriots this past season. Cash. On the team. So we all believe that Jerry...
How is that possible?
Jerry Jones is this big swinging D. Yeah. But
they never spend actual money.
They actually... They spend top heavy. Like, they pay Dak top of the market. They pay CD. They'll, you know, that type of stuff. But when it comes to filling out the roster, he is cheap.
Wow. All right, Wiggy. Great lead.
Thank you. You got it.